Escape to London, written by Mary Jane Staples and read by Claire Corbett.
Chapter 1. March 14th, 1938. In a poorly furnished apartment of a workers' block on the east side of Vienna, two men were talking. One had just arrived, and it was he who, at the wish of the other man, answered a light, harmless-sounding knock on the apartment door. Opening it, he was confronted by two members of the German Gestapo. He knew them by their black raincoats, their wide-brimmed hats, and their look of impassive omnipotence. He effected something of a miracle in being quicker than they were. He slammed the door shut before they could burst in, and at the sound, the other man disappeared into the bedroom. It took the Gestapo men only a few seconds to blow the lock and to crash the door open. They rushed in, their revolvers fitted with silencers. The living room was empty, and they hurled themselves into the bedroom. From behind the battered apartment door, the man who had slammed it shut emerged and slipped quietly out. He sped along the corridor and down the stairs to the ground floor, making for the rear exit. In the bedroom, the Gestapo hunters saw an open window. Reaching it, they sighted their quarry. They recognized him. He was edging his way over the roof of a warehouse below. One Gestapo man took aim. They had authority in Vienna, members of the German Gestapo, for Hitler had just annexed Austria.
"Wait!" hissed the second man. "Wait! Himmler wants him alive!"
Their quarry looked up and saw them at the open window. He scrambled over the roof to the gutter.
"Halt!"
both Gestapo men shouted the command. The hunted man looked up again, face white and teeth gritted. He made a gesture of defiance and contempt, then peered over the gutter, looking for a way down. Sighting carefully, the first Gestapo man fired. The bullet, intended as a warning, ricocheted and struck the quarry's foot. He jerked and fell. He disappeared, and they heard his anguished cry.
"Idiot!" spat one Gestapo man to the other.
The man who had slammed the door in their faces came running into the street. Hidden by the warehouse, he saw the fallen man, huddled and broken-bodied. The street was otherwise empty. He sprinted fast, reached the fallen man, and bent over him.
"My God!"
he breathed. Glazing eyes opened. A hand lifted painfully.
"In my pocket. Take it."
The hand fell. The eyes closed. The stooping man searched the jacket pockets quickly and found a white envelope. He extracted it, hesitated a moment in compassion, realized nothing could be done for a man who was dying, and broke into a new sprint, traveling fast. When Himmler's men reached the street seconds later, they saw him. In a light coat and brown hat, he disappeared fast as he negotiated a corner that took him into a busy thoroughfare, where people were streaming to join thousands of others awaiting the arrival of the Führer of the Greater German Reich. There was only a body for the Gestapo. It was not long, however, before they took up the hunt again. The Führer was standing in the open, slow-moving black car, acknowledging the hysterical welcome of the citizens of Vienna with upraised right arm, palm turned flatly back. His expression, naturally, was one of triumph. His contempt was masked. He despised Vienna and the Viennese. During his time there, from 1909 to 1913, he had never been appreciated, never been much more than a down and out. It was the German people who had seen him as a man of genius and accepted him as their Führer. The Austrians thickly lining the streets had either forgotten or were unaware of their erstwhile neglect of him. He was their Führer too now, and they greeted him deliriously, with a forest of saluting arms and Nazi flags. With him were his closest associates, and following on were column after column of his stormtroopers, standards flying,